Today on the Jeff Wilson Show, a very special episode. We are diving into the business of Pokemon and trading card games. And look, guys, I am a big time sports card collector and investor, and I don't really collect Pokemon or trading card games. I understand a little bit about the world because, you know, my son and my daughter are into Pokemon. So I've seen a bit of it, and I certainly respect the fact there are a lot of big time Pokemon collectors out there. But it's not where my personal interest has lied as much. This may be similar to a lot of you watching or listening to the show. But I am fascinated by the business aspect of it for a couple of different reasons. I mean, first of all, I recognize there's an absolutely massive collector base out there, in many ways, a bigger collector base for Pokemon and trading card games than there are for sports cards. And that aspect of it fascinates me to understand those collectors and what make them tick. And why it is such a big business. And then, of course, the other aspect that fascinates me is how those people can become my customers. Because at Cards HQ, the new card shop that I'm opening up, we're going to have a trading card game and Pokemon section, a big section. We're leaning heavily into that because I know that's a big industry and we want to embrace collectors of all types and be able to service every type of card collector, regardless of whether they're in sports cards or into Pokemon cards or trading card games. So today is going to be an educational episode for me and hopefully an educational episode for you as well. At Cards HQ, we have hired a general manager in charge of trading card games. His name is Michael Walters, and he's already started with us. He's helping us get Cards HQ ready and do all of our Pokemon and trading card game ordering right now. So Michael and I are about to sit down together, and he's going to educate both of us on the world of Pokemon and trading card games. Here we go. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to dig in with you. And I want to start with this. Tell me, why is Pokemon so damn popular right now?
I think there's a few reasons. The nice part about playing the video games is that it's about yourself. You're playing as the character. So instead of playing as Harry Potter or as Link in Zelda, you get to kind of just be yourself.
Interesting.
And then there's so many different creatures now. You kind of have that originally when they were making them, they were basing them a lot off of animals in real life. So you kind of have that familiarity with Pokemon.
Interesting. So you actually collect, I mean, I guess these are have some similarities to them being your pets almost, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I haven't thought about this aspect of it. So is this how you got into Pokemon, playing the actual Pokemon video game?
Yeah. So I originally started playing with Ruby and Emerald way back on the Game Boys.
Okay.
And then just kept playing them and just kind of kept getting more into it. And then eventually got into the cards and then Pokemon Go. And then.
Interesting. Is the video game how you think a lot of people started with Pokemon? Do you think the majority of like Pokemon collectors or game players would say that they started by playing one of the Pokemon video games?
I think it'd be either the video game or maybe watching the anime or the TV shows.
I always assumed it was the TV shows. I don't know a lot about the origins of Pokemon because this missed me. This missed my generation, right? I'm older than you, obviously. And when I was growing up, there wasn't Pokemon. Like Pokemon hit after I was, I guess, already an adult. When did the games and everything come out in the 90s?
Yeah, so Pokemon was originally made in Japan in 1996.
Okay.
And then started kind of getting more into America in 1999.
Okay. Yeah. So I would have been in college when, you know, when it was getting into America and it was not, you know, probably not super cool at that point to, you know, be looking at these characters in college or for whatever reason, I was more invested in doing other things at that time than figuring out what Pokemon was. I didn't even heard of it. Like it just completely missed me for years and years. It wasn't until when my oldest son Reeves was in probably like kindergarten when kids were, you know, he wanted Pokemon cards. That was the first time I think I'd ever even really heard of Pokemon. Like I might have, you know, known that it was a TV show or something, but I'd never paid any attention to it. And then all of a sudden he's getting into it. So my introduction into it really was the cards, not the TV show, not the video games. But it sounds like that's atypical. Most people got into it through the anime, through the through the video games, and then the cards actually came later.
Yeah, I would say the cards, because then you like to, you already know the Pokemon from either the games or the anime, and then you get to kind of collect your favorite Pokemon through the cards.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So it actually was an extension of those things, and then it started to build popularity from there. Why do you think Pokemon has been able to sustain that type of popularity? I mean, it's become one of the largest media brands in the entire world. Like, one of the very largest. Like, it's bigger than Harry Potter. It's bigger than, you know, Nintendo. Like, it's sort of Nintendo, you know, games and characters.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest media brands in the world. Why has it gotten to that level?
Yeah, I don't think people realize how big Pokemon actually is. I think a lot of people just think that it's just kind of like, oh, it's, you know, kind of like its own like niche thing, kind of like it's whatever. But then when you start realizing like it's bigger than Disney and it's bigger than all the Marvel and like DC and all that stuff, and you start realizing, wow, these brands that we think are massive, and Pokemon's light years ahead of that.
Yeah, it's fascinating, the scope of it. I obviously went to Japan this summer. I was expecting to see a lot of Pokemon. I did see a lot of Pokemon. You know, they've got a bunch of Pokemon centers and various big malls there and everything like that. And it was really interesting to see. Anyone who doubts its popularity in America simply needs to look at the grading report. And we're going to get into this more later, but if you read the gem rate reports about how many cards are being graded every month, there's about as many Pokemon and trading card game, which is mainly Pokemon, cards being graded as there are all of the major sports combined. So if you took football plus basketball plus baseball cards and added them together, it comes out to around the same number of Pokemon cards that are being graded on a monthly basis, give or take 100,000 or something like that. But I mean, it's relatively close, which that tells you the size and scope of it. I'm not sure many sports card collectors quite understand that scope, because when you go to sports card shows, there's typically a few booths here and there selling Pokemon, but it's a minor thing at a sports card show. It almost looks out of place. It's almost like, that's weird. Like, these two tables have like trading card games. Everybody else has sports cards, right? But people don't realize that's just because it's a sports card show. I mean, there's whole other types of shows like Collecticons and Gen Con and shows like that that are huge shows that are all around, you know, Pokemon and trading card games. And, you know, some of them get in anime and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely a big thing. I've observed that Pokemon feels, I think, almost a little bit more like a lifestyle. Like, it seems like having gone to the Collecticons before, it seems like people show up there not just to try to pick up some cards or look at cards. In fact, there's a lot of people there that don't really show up for the cards at all. They're dressed in character, or they're buying, you know, uniforms and stuff there. They're buying like character hats or whatever. It's almost like they're there more for an experience. They have music at these shows. They've got like, it's more of an event, I'd say, than most sports card shows are. Why is it? Is Pokemon more of a lifestyle, you think, beyond just like a trading card game and a video game?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I'm always doing something with Pokemon. So even when, like, you can ask Ryan and Carter, when we're in the airport and we're waiting on a flight, I'm playing Pokemon Go. Usually either looking at stuff with Pokemon. My whole room is kind of decorated in just different Pokemon stuff. I'm always wearing Pokemon clothes, wearing Magikarp socks right now. Like, it's kind of like a part of you in a sense. It is a lifestyle.
It's interesting. People who aren't into this, I think some probably look at this and go, this looks silly. Like, there's just, what are all these like childish characters? Like, what is all this? Like, bright colors, childish characters. In some ways, it kind of looks like a kid's game. But then you see the number of big celebrities that are into this and like the number of big influencers, all adults. I mean, all the clearly there's tons of adults into this, maybe more adults than kids, you know, into Pokemon. What is it about the like the spirit of that that has kept someone like you, a grown man, wearing Magikarp socks?
I think it's just kind of neat for the characters. Like, I've always liked the designs of different characters, but I think it's there's like a different character for everybody, I would say. And that's why people have their favorite player or team. Like, for us, we have our favorite Pokemon. And there's different, I would say, kind of styles of Pokemon. So, yeah, you have Godzilla, and you think of Godzilla as like this like huge monster, but then we have Tyranitar. And Tyranitar is kind of the same thing, like this huge monster. Then at the same time, he's kind of cute and adorable. So it's kind of different in that aspect, and it's interesting to see how we keep getting those. Like, we kind of, Pokemon covers all aspects of it.
Okay. Who's your favorite character?
Mine's Lugia.
Okay.
I've always been a huge Lugia fan.
Why Lugia?
So when I was a lot younger, we were opening up e-reader series cards. I pulled the Crystal Lugia from Aquapolis out of probably 6 packs. Like, I didn't open up a lot of that set, but I happened to re-find it a couple years earlier in a shoebox. So I didn't keep very good care of my cards, which I feel like most people didn't at the time. When you're a kid, you like to just play with them on concrete. Mm-hmm. And so luckily mine wasn't as played with on concrete as most of my other cards. But I think I just really liked the style of that card, and the card looked really cool. And now it's a pretty popular card.
Are adults still getting into Pokemon like new? Like, are you know, you see right now in sports cards, we saw during the boom, tons of new people getting into cards, and we're still seeing new people get into cards all the time. If you go to a card show in the sports card world, you're going to meet a ton of new collectors there who just got into it in the last few months. Is that happening in Pokemon?
Yeah, it's still happening in Pokemon, just like it is in sports. Doesn't really matter what age you are. I mean, we see little kids getting back into trading, or not getting back into, but we see kids getting into trading cards for sports. We see adults getting into it. It's the same thing for Pokemon.
Okay.
I even had an experience when I was working at Publix where we had a guy who was probably 35 or 40. Couldn't imagine he ever knew anything about Pokemon. And he came up to me and he was like, "Hey, I started playing the new Pokemon game." He's like, "I'm really enjoying it. Never really tried one before." So it was kind of neat in that way too, where it's not just kids getting into it. It really is everybody.
Interesting. I want to talk about the other trading card games some as well, but we'll get a little bit more to that later. But I'm just curious right now, how does this popularity that you're talking about around Pokemon, how does that compare to the popularity around the other trading card games? Are any of them anywhere close to Pokemon's level? Or is it just like Pokemon is by far and away number one, and then there's a big drop off in terms of, you know, fan popularity until you get to Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! And One Piece or whatever the other ones might be at the time, MetaZoo?
Yeah, I think Magic's really big. I know for playability-wise, I think it's a lot bigger than Pokemon because we have that collectability side on Pokemon. Whereas Magic, people do collect it, but it's more for people actually just playing the game. The other ones that I would say are potentially going to rival Pokemon is One Piece and Lorcana.
Lorcana. I like hearing about Lorcana. I'm a big Disney guy, so I like hearing about Lorcana. Does Yu-Gi-Oh! Have much heat these days? I know that was popular for a while.
Yeah, I would say not as much, unfortunately. There still is a market for Yu-Gi-Oh! And people still play it. I know a couple guys that still play in the local tournaments for Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. But it's not as big as, I would say, Pokemon or Magic.
Okay. So you said something interesting. You talked about how Magic, from a gameplay perspective, might be even more popular than Pokemon. There's a lot of people gameplay, but there's not nearly as much collectability in Magic, whereas Pokemon has a lot of collectability. Let's talk about that split, because that's interesting, right? So you've got people who play Pokemon. You've got people who collect Pokemon. How many people both play and collect Pokemon, or do people tend to fit more in one camp or the other?
I would say more people just collect the cards than actually play it. The people who do play the game still collect, but it's mainly just the majority of people actually collecting the cards don't play the game.
Okay. And you do both. You're actually a judge, right, for Pokemon tournaments?
Yeah, so I'm a TCG judge and a TCG organizer.
Okay. So you can do... Does that mean you do more than just Pokemon?
Just Pokemon. Okay. But I am able to... Like, I know the rules and are able to, like, officiate a tournament, but also I'm able to run a tournament as well.
Okay. I'm sure we'll be doing some of that in Cards HQ. So that's a very helpful skill set. One of the things we were certainly interested in when you applied. Okay, so that's interesting. So more collectors, you think, in Pokemon than actual game players. A lot of game players do collect. Does that explain why there's so many graded Pokemon cards? Because I would think if you get your cards graded, can you still play those cards in a game, or are you not really playing graded cards in a game?
So unfortunately, you can't play a graded card, but there are a lot of values that change because a card is playable versus non-playable.
In terms of like how much that card's worth.
Yes.
Yep. So is there a divide between people who are hardcore Pokemon, like game players, and then the whole collector audience who maybe doesn't play the game at all and just gets their cards graded? Like, are there some Pokemon gameplay purists who are like, this whole graded collecting thing is horrible, it's bad because it's taking all these cards out of circulation and getting them graded, they can no longer be played on the game, these collectors, they don't really care about the game? Like, is there... I could just see that happening, because you see that kind of stuff happen in the sports card world where people are like, you know, all these newfangled kids that are getting into sports cards and all they care about is flipping them or how much money they're worth, or, you know, the print runs of the sets these days are ridiculous because all these new people, and, you know, back in my day, you know, you get all that stuff in the sports card world all the time, right? Do you get that in the Pokemon world?
I would say the divide probably isn't there as much, where like the people who are playing the game aren't hating on the graded cards or stuff like that. It's mainly like some of the graded cards you might, or some of the cards you might not want to get graded because they're valuable because of the playability aspect. But people still, there's still value to cards. Mm-hmm. There's still value to all the Pokemon cards, and people want those tens. Yeah. They want to say they have a perfect card.
Yeah.
Either if it's playable or not playable.
Interesting. What characters have the most value? I knowing a little bit about it, I know, you know, obviously Charizard seems to set record sales. I know Pikachu's got a lot of popularity. I know Venusaur seems to have a lot of popularity around Venusaur. What are the top characters? Someone who maybe is new getting into it and they're interested in, well, how do I buy a card that, you know, graded for my collection that might have some interest and value and people care about and want to trade me for, or whatever. Like, what is that stack rank almost of the most popular characters?
Yeah, so Charizard, obviously, I would say is number one. He's a dragon, so you can't go wrong with that. Then there's Pikachu and Eevee are also other ones that we see a lot of, either in the animes, the games, the actual cards. There's a lot of cards of them as well. And then some other ones. So there's like Gengar, Lucario, Gardevoir, some other different Pokemon that are more popular than I would say others.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep an eye out for them for sure. Yeah. How long have you been doing, how long have you been into Pokemon cards?
So I was into Pokemon cards as a kid. That's where I got the Lugia from, and that's where I eventually stopped after a while. My parents told me, oh, you'll grow out of Pokemon. And so I was like, okay, you know, you're probably right. Like, I wanted my whole room to be Pokemon themed. And so I ended up collecting more sports cards, got into baseball with my brother, and then eventually tried football cards, and then just decided, it's just not for me right now. And eventually went back to Pokemon cards.
Got back to Pokemon. How has the Pokemon world changed since the early days. It seems to me now, and I don't know if it, I assume it didn't used to be this way. It seems to me now like there's new Pokemon releases coming out quite often. There's a lot of cards every time they come out with a new release. It's, you know, there's a, it's a pretty big checklist of cards, it seems like. And then it seems like they make a ton of boxes with every new release, right? I mean, I heard some stat, like they made 1 billion Pokemon cards last year in total. I don't know if that's true or not. I heard somebody say that, but like, I mean, it's gotta be a huge number like that, that, you know, Pokemon is producing every year. Was it like that when you were a kid, or was it a much different landscape?
Probably not as much as the amount of cards they're making. Of course, with the audience that's been constantly growing, they've been printing more and more cards. You do have to think there are a lot of energy cards and more common and uncommon cards, more of the bulk, that they are printing a lot of those as well. Not necessarily just printing 1 billion of the secret illustrations or anything like that. Like, it is, they are printing more of just the bulk of it than all of those.
Do you worry that Pokemon is getting overprinted or overproduced?
Probably a little bit. They are just printing a lot. I mean, we have 4, maybe 5 sets a year generally. There are a bunch of different boxes that come out on top of the different boxes that they make that aren't really set specific. Just every so often they like to make a new box.
Mm-hmm. And this is, so they're coming out with 4 or 5 sets a year, plus, you know, different types of boxes, all this type of thing. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot, but at the same time, it you would know better than I, because you manage, you know, a Pokemon store, or the Pokemon side of a sports card store prior to this. But it seems like, from what I've seen, like, demand remains really high. And when these new Pokemon sets come out, despite the fact they come out with a lot of them and they print a lot, you got a line of people lined up to get them on release day. And sometimes they sell out relatively quickly.
Yeah, there's always new, people like new cards. So regardless of how many they're actually printing, it's always nice to get that new artwork of the Pokemon that you've had on your team or like to collect.
Yeah, I'm curious. So I know, like, you know, kind of a little bit of the evolution of some of these Pokemon cards over the last several years because of watching my sons pull the card. So I remember, you know, like, it was, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago that Reeves would get really excited when he pulled an EX card. And then all of a sudden there were mega EXs, and he's like, oh my God, these mega EXs are even more powerful than the EXs. Then there were GXs. Then there were tag team GXs, I believe. And yeah, you know, you've had these different things, and is it, do they come out with like more powerful and better cards? And does that make the older sets less playable from a gameplay perspective, or do you not mix old versus new when you're playing?
So it's a little bit of both. The cards are kind of power creeping a little bit, so they are getting stronger and stronger as the game progresses through the years. On top of that, when they come out with a video game, that's when they kind of start an era of Pokemon, and they have new versions of the cards. So like the EXs or VMAXs or the GXs, those are kind of specifically set to like an era of the cards with the video game.
I forgot about the VMAXs. Yeah, that's been its own. Okay, that's been its own thing. Interesting. So that ties back into a video game. So that's why you've got these different types of cards. Okay. The power creeping, I think, is interesting. I think there's a psychology there that, like, they probably want to make every new release or every year there be, like, you know, this cool chase card that people are going after that maybe is a little, maybe, well, this Charizard's maybe a little more powerful than the Charizard from last year, the Charizard from the year before. But that also, to me, like, if you go down that path, that means that someday you're going to have Charizards that do like 3,000 damage. And then your Charizards from like 10 years ago are going to like look kind of worthless in comparison from a gameplay perspective.
Yeah. So it's funny to go back and look at these original Pokemon cards, like base set Jungle Fossil, and see that these stage 2 or higher evolution cards are pretty weak in comparison to what they are now. So you have some Pokemon that could be kind of like a basic card that has the same HP as Charizard from base set.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, that is that, you know, creep in terms of power, the power creep, I guess you were talking about. I think it's just natural. That's going to happen with a product like that. But that's funny. But that certainly hasn't lessened the collectability of the early cards. The early cards are the ones that tend to be worth the most because those are the most rare and the oldest and, you know, the first Pokemon cards. And they tend to be the ones that I think everybody wants, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody just likes the originals. Kind of when you think about like Mickey Mantle for sports, everybody wants his rookie and they know about his rookie. Kind of similar thing to Pokemon, where they make a lot of different Charizard cards, but the first edition Shadowless Charizard is going to be the most desirable and the most expensive.
Yeah, interesting. Why do you think Pokemon has not come out with serial numbered cards? I mean, that's such a common tactic now in sports cards where everything's got to be serial numbered, right? Everyone wants serial. Everyone wants your 101s or your out of 10s or your out of 99s. I mean, everybody chases serial numbered cards when they open packs. And I know that Pokemon has, where they got like secret rares and like rainbow rares, like they've got like some extra spicy levels of rarity and that kind of thing. But I've never seen serial numbered Pokemon. No one's chasing the one of one Charizard from the new set or the out of 10. Why do you think they haven't gone to that?
That's a good question. That's something that I've actually been asking and have kind of been talking to a lot of people about. I think it'd be a neat idea to have a numbered Pokemon card. So even if that's, or a higher version of the cards that we have now. So a lot of people like to chase shinies, even though we have these illustration rares and the secret illustration rares, why not go a little like one step further and make it where you have a whole nother rarity on top of that, that are shiny in that card.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. I mean, maybe the danger with doing it is that you then kind of expose what your actual production run is, right? Because like, okay, well, if we know that there's, you know, cards that are serial numbered to 99 or 299, how many boxes and packs does it take you to find one of those cards? And then you can kind of back into the math a little bit, and maybe they print so much of it that they're worried that the out of 99s are going to be so impossible to find that like it's just going to be like people are going to be chasing ghosts. And maybe they worry it's going to somehow reflect poorly. I don't know, but it is an interesting question.
Yeah, it could be something like that. I know Magic the Gathering just recently started doing serialized cards. So hopefully Pokemon will kind of take a little bit from that and go, how can we kind of integrate some serial numbered cards into the card game?
Yeah, it'd be interesting for sure. So let's talk about Pokemon and trading card games in general in relation to Cards HQ. So you've obviously come on board and you're largely responsible for setting up the whole trading card game section in the store. And we're going to have a big trading card game section. So how do you think we are going to balance that when it comes to like, first of all, within Pokemon, when it comes to different types of boxes? I know there's booster boxes and then there's these, I don't know what you call them, the boxes that you see in Walmart and Target that, you know, the more, you know, less expensive boxes.
Like EX boxes.
There you go. That kind of stuff.
Build and battles.
Yeah. So how are we going to balance like boosters versus those versus graded cards versus single cards? Like what's the right type of mix of stuff? Raw cards, I should say. What's the right type of mix of stuff for like a TCG store to carry?
So we're going to have just a mix of all of it. So I want, no matter what price point, generally when the set comes out, they have a bunch of different boxes at a bunch of different price points. So we're going to have a mix of all of those as well as all the new releases and a mix of those different boxes that they come out with every so often. The graded versus raw cards, we just want to have a bunch of all of it too.
Okay. Do you think we'll have people come in who are, you know, collectors, they gravitate towards graded, and then other sets of people who are more the gameplay people, and then they're only going to want raw?
Yeah, so I see it kind of on a day-to-day basis. A lot of people do like their graded cards and do want the 10s or the 9s. But then at the same time, we do have a lot of people that like to binder fill and master set and just play the game. And sometimes people like to bling out their deck. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the Giratina V alternate art card. Maybe they want it in their deck to actually play the game. Mm-hmm. Even though that's an expensive card, they're willing to kind of shuffle it up and kind of damage it in a sense, but they want to kind of show it off.
Yeah.
So you can't do that with a graded card. So you need the copies raw to be able to sell to them as well.
Okay. So really a mix of all the above. Like, if we're going to be a serious player in the Pokemon space in terms of card sales, sounds like we need to appeal to really all audiences at all price points.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right. What do you think about the mix of other TCG? So, like, as you're planning this out, do you give 80% to Pokemon, 50% to Pokemon? How do you divide up between Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh and One Piece and MetaZoo and whatever else we might, Lorcana we talked about, right? Whatever else might go. There's Flesh and Blood. I don't know how popular that is these days. I know there's a lot of them, right? Yeah. How do you manage all of that?
So that it's a little tough. We're mainly going to have a bunch of Pokemon, but we still want to keep all of those other games in mind as well. So we're going to keep stocking Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh. Lorcana is going to be big for us. I know Ryan and Carter are huge fans of Lorcana, kind of like everybody else right now. So with that, we're going to have try to keep a lot of the product, which is difficult because it's just sold out from distributor wise. So it's tough to actually get the product.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to try and keep having those, having even Star Wars is coming out with a new trading card game. So we're going to keep an eye on that just so we have a mix for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's a good thing to do. I know getting new product for this stuff can be tough, just like it is in sports cards. I mean, I think it's a little easier to like get Pokemon distribution, but it's still not the easiest thing in the world. And in some of these other games, as you mentioned, like Lorcana, I know that's been a challenge for people to get Lorcana. And you know, that there's been a rush on all of this stuff. So it's not, I guess, the easiest stuff to just get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got to do a lot of buying to go get singles for Pokemon and Lorcana and all of these games. What's that process been like so far?
It's been a little tough. So mainly, like how you were saying, we have, for more of the TCG side, we have stuff like Collecticon. We have these huge events that are mainly based on TCG. Currently, we've been going to a bunch of different sports shows, mm-hmm. which do have Pokemon, but not to the scale that we're probably trying to purchase.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, there's not another Collecticon until after our store opens. I think the next one's in February. They do a great job with those shows. I went to one last year in Dallas. It was a lot of fun. Might have been Houston. I can't remember. Somewhere Texas, I went to a Collecticon, and it was a lot of fun last year. It was Dallas. Yes, it was Dallas. Can't remember all the places I've been, all these different shows, but they do a great job with the shows. There's going to be 12 of them next year, including Atlanta, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll be at a lot of them, but there's not one before we open. So we got to figure out a way to get enough cards to fill all of our shelves for all of our opening inventory. But I understand you guys are trying to buy inventory off like dealers. There's a card shop I think you guys are trying to buy inventory off of tomorrow, like buy them out of Pokemon. And I guess we got to get creative, right?
Yeah. So either a bunch of different shops that we kind of know that we're talking to that they might have a lot of inventory, or are either trying to just downsize, or just the amount that people are walking in their doors, they have kind of a backlog of Pokemon. So we're trying to purchase that stuff as well to kind of make their life easier, but also get enough cards for us.
Yeah. What is hot in Pokemon right now?
So I would say Paldean Fates is kind of just around the corner. It's actually coming out on the weekend of Culture Collision.
Oh gosh, and right when we are open. Right theoretically right when we're open.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's one of the first times that we'll have kind of these special illustration rares as shinies as well. So a lot of people are really excited about that. Although there aren't many shiny versions of those cards in the set, there's a Charizard that's a shiny that is a special illustration rare.
Okay, so that's going to be the one everyone's chasing.
Yes, it'll be a really big card.
Okay, so if we rip some boxes that weekend and hit one of those, we're going to be happy. Or if one of our customers comes into Cards HQ, wow, that's wild. So that's a big release, and the timing of that is right around our grand opening.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. I'm glad to hear about that. Okay. So everyone's hyped up about that. Was there anything that released this year, which still has a lot of buzz that people are going back and trying to buy more of?
So they just started the Scarlet and Violet era this year. The game was released last year. And so with that, in January, they came out with Scarlet and Violet. I would say Paldea Evolved is a set that is just good for playability. There's a lot of Iono cards, which is a staple for playing the game. Mm-hmm. So people are always kind of just going back to that one. Now, there will be an Iono in the Paldean Fate set, which will be pretty cool. So we're excited about that.
Okay, cool. And outside of Pokemon, you've already mentioned a lot of excitement right now, like around Lorcana. You mentioned One Piece. I noticed that you bought some One Piece when we were up at the Philly Card Show. You were excited about buying a dealer out of a whole bunch of boxes of One Piece that he had. When I was in Japan this summer, touring trading card game stores in Japan, which, by the way, it's huge over there. Like, have you ever been over to Japan? Have you ever experienced it over there?
Unfortunately not. Yeah. I was kind of hoping to be able to go for the World Championships that happened in Japan last year, but wasn't able to make it.
It's a cool experience. I mean, even as a, you know, not having been a trading card game fan in general, I still wanted to go see it all and go tour all the stores and just get a feel for it because I know how big of a deal it is. And it was cool to see the amount of trading card games, the passion. And I went to some great stores. I met with the owners of the Mint stores over there, which is actually a chain of sports card stores in Japan, but they also have some trading card game stores as well. They have Mint Games is one of their stores, which is trading card game based. So I went and toured that. And they said to me that One Piece is very, very hot in Japan. It was kind of one of their hottest newish trading card games in Japan. And then I noticed you buying that at the Philly show. Is that one of the next up and coming ones? Do you think that one's going to have a lot of heat as well?
Yeah. So One Piece just started coming out. I want to say, if not the beginning of this year, I want to say last year. Mm-hmm. So it's a brand new set. They just released the fifth set recently and it is just taken off
Why? What makes a new set like that take off?
So I think it's the playability of it. Like, people just enjoy playing the game, but also how big the anime is. Mm-hmm. So One Piece is, I want to say, one of the biggest animes ever. And so to be able to bring that into cards that people can collect, they like to collect their favorite player.
This was an existing show. That, you know, is the show in the US or is the show only in Japan?
I want to say it's dubbed in English, but I want to say, I'm not huge into animes, so I don't exactly know, but I'm pretty sure it started off in Japan, was dubbed in English, and then Netflix recently came out with the One Piece, like, live version.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Cool. So that's I guess what's hot. That's what's next. So we got to get ready for One Piece as well. Very cool. Well, Mike, this has been super informative. I appreciate this. I need to continue to learn more and more about this because we're obviously gonna have a lot of this in the shop, and we're not far away. We're about a month or so away, a little over a month from the debut of our store. Maybe not our full opening, but at least our previews are a little bit over a month away, and this is going to be certainly a big part of it. So we're excited. I'm going to continue to learn more about this. And thank you for sharing and bringing me up to speed on everything that's going on with Pokemon and trading card games today.
Of course. One last question for you, Jeff. Do you think you'll ever start collecting Pokemon cards?
Maybe I have to. I don't know. Maybe I have to. My son, Harrison, has a pretty killer Pikachu collection.
Ooh.
He really specialized in on Pikachu, which I was happy he did because Pikachu's more affordable than some of the other characters. I mean, certainly a lot more affordable than like Charizard.
Yes.
So I was actually happy he chose Pikachu and not Charizard. So, you know, he's got his Pikachu thing going on. I like Pikachu as well. I don't know. Maybe I need to pick my character. Maybe that's the key to the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll work on that. I appreciate that. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you did, please give it a like. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and These Jeff Wilson shows, the full episodes are available on YouTube under the Jeff Wilson Show on YouTube in video form, as well as on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, so you can always listen on the go. We appreciate you guys watching. We'll see you next time for the next one. Take care.